versus City Financial. Mr. Mancini.
Good morning, Your Honors. Counsel. May it please the Court. This case arises originally from an Illinois appellate court ruling, the Second District of Illinois. Although the district court indicated it was not going to stand in review of that Illinois appellate court's ruling, it in effect did in granting summary judgment in favor of the defendant, in this case, City Financial. I just want to highlight a couple of findings and statements from the Illinois appellate court that I think are instructive and, in some cases, determinative. The first is from page 3, where it says, this case presents the core issue of what interest passed to the plaintiffs with associates transfer the mortgage to them without any transfer of the underlying debt it secured. What that court then did was ultimately find that the plaintiffs were not the holders of the promissory note, which was secured by a mortgage. The appellate court then went on to say, we next consider whether to transfer the mortgage instrument alone to plaintiffs transferred the right to foreclose it. That's page 4 of the opinion. And in concluding on that, it indicates plaintiffs did not present a prima facie case because they did not prove that they were mortgagees entitled to foreclose.
Do we know whether this was a negotiable or a non-negotiable note?
It was a negotiable note from my recollection, Judge, but we don't know exactly. The testimony was at the trial level in the 18th Judicial Circuit of Illinois that it was a negotiable promissory note secured by a mortgage.
Is there any law in the state of Illinois that a negotiable note can be transferred by an affidavit as opposed to either the note itself or a copy?
Can be transferred. I'm not sure I understand the term.
Well,
transfer.
You want to transfer a note from one person to another.
Right.
If it's a negotiable note, the usual way is to transfer the note or a copy.
Correct.
All right. Is there any law in the state of Illinois that permits you to transfer such a negotiable note by an affidavit that the note is lost?
No, not that I'm aware of. So against this backdrop of the Illinois appellate court's ruling, the plaintiffs are essentially left with no ability to recover from either the mortgagor or from this defendant in this case. They paid $140,000 for a note that they can't foreclose on. There's a judicial determination that they are not the holder of that note, nor can they establish themselves as mortgagees entitled to foreclose on the mortgage. That brings us to the district court's ruling. And so in finding that the plaintiffs had an opportunity to recover their loss, the district court relied on Ocwen. The Ocwen case is highly distinguishable from this case for a couple of reasons. The first is that Ocwen, in that case, could establish legal title to the note. In this case, the Illinois Second District Appellate Court has determined that we cannot establish legal title as plaintiffs to the note as a matter of law. In addition, there was no dispute as to the terms of the note or the mortgage in Ocwen. In this case, the Illinois Appellate Court caption is my clients, the plaintiffs, versus the individual defendants, Prince and a couple other people who were on the note. But in testimony, Mr. Prince testified that he signed that note on behalf of the corporation. That issue cannot be resolved without a copy of the note. Neither the district court nor the defendant in this case addresses these fatal deficiencies in a lost note affidavit or in any other opportunity to recover the loss sustained by my clients. The Illinois appellate court's rulings essentially preclude plaintiffs from establishing any legal title to the underlying debt. Now, whether or not that ruling was correct, we're not here to decide. And unfortunately, the district court took it upon itself to do that. And in so doing, it ignored that precedent and determined that the Illinois appellate court was wrong and my clients could now proceed to foreclose on a mortgage in an equitable claim. They can't. They're bound by specific findings in the Illinois appellate court. And again, no one, either in briefing or in the written order, has been able to clarify or limit the findings of the Illinois appellate court to allow my clients to do just what the district court says we can do. In addition, a lost note affidavit does not cure the defects because Lost note affidavits, there's a lot of discussion about lost note affidavits. I don't know if Your Honors have ever done foreclosure work, but they're fairly regular. Banks lose the original note, so they attach a copy of the note with a lost note affidavit indicating we lost the original, here's a copy, it's a true and accurate copy, and it's allowed in for evidentiary purpose and prove up or trial if that should come about. It's not used to establish the terms of the note, who signed the note. That is something that has to be in the written instrument itself. Illinois law is quite clear. We cite a case in our brief that talks about the use of secondary evidence and the fact that you have to put more than just simply the fact we lost the note and here's what we think the terms are. You have to establish what those terms are. The only way to do that is a copy of the note. Which brings us to the second issue, is whether or not the note was required to be transferred pursuant to the party's transaction. And with all due respect to the district court, I think this was an ends justifying the means analysis by the district court, because it's clear from the affidavit of Mr. Cogswell that his intent when the offer was made was to purchase the note. The offer itself says, paragraphs top of the offer, first sentence, we seek to purchase the note. You don't walk into a car dealership and say, I want to purchase the car, and not walk out with a car.
Why isn't there a written purchase agreement?
I don't know. There should have been. I agree with you. I didn't represent these folks in the beginning. I didn't represent them either in the trial court.
We're in oral contract land then, if this case needs to be tried, right?
We are.
And so we're either faced with the factual determination about whether the transfer of the note or a copy of the note was a term of the oral agreement between the parties, or whether it's a missing term that should be implied by the court given the nature of the transaction. Is that a fair characterization of the dispute?
I think that's a fair characterization. I think the evidence submitted at summary judgment was all one-sided. It was only in favor of plaintiffs. It was an affidavit from my client indicating that the term of the note was the transfer of the note. Term of the agreement was the transfer of the note. In addition, the offer states we're purchasing the note. We want to confirm the note. We want to confirm its existence. And after that, the assignment that's signed post-agreement indicates in express writing, Associates was transferring the note to my clients. So we have writing indicative both before and after the transaction that my client expected to receive the note and was supposed to get the note once the transaction.
Did he ever see a copy of the note?
No. They never did.
But went forward with the transaction anyway.
They did under the obvious presumption that they were going to get the note. It's a customary transaction, unfortunately.
Failure of due diligence on his part?
You're going to put me on the record on that, Judge? I don't know.
It's going to hurt you at trial if this is going back.
It certainly will, but I think that it creates in itself the genuine issue of material fact that would preclude the district court from ruling the way they did. So if you're going to weigh the credibility, we're not at summary judgment then. So in terms of this appeal...
Right, no, I understand.
Yeah, I'm starting to enter my rebuttal time, so I would like to just simply conclude that modern contracts indicates that if a party acts consistent with the offer and there's nothing in the offer that says I need a response, then the offer is the terms of the agreement. And that's what we have here. And the district court's ruling is in some ways contrived in order to justify what the district court thought should be the end result. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mancini. Ms. Miller?
If we're looking at the conduct of the parties in order to be able to determine what the terms of the agreement were, the conduct of the parties clearly shows that plaintiffs did not expect to get the note. They continued with a foreclosure proceeding without having a copy of the note. They moved forward to try and foreclose on this property, having never seen a copy of the note. The three documents that plaintiffs are relying on here to show that they should have gotten the note fail to show what they say they're going to show. And in terms of Your Honor's question regarding does Illinois law allow an affidavit, we keep kind of going around and around on this question. Clearly, a lost note affidavit is allowed. An affidavit to bring in secondary evidence is allowed. in the initial foreclosure proceeding, could an affidavit have worked to bring in more evidence of the note and the terms of the note? Absolutely.
Even if the note's negotiable?
Even if the note's negotiable, yes, Your Honor.
And is there any Illinois authority for that?
Just the secondary authority rule that an affidavit can
what
bring in the evidence.
What secondary authority?
Under the Illinois court rules that you can bring in secondary evidence to talk about what the terms of something are.
Yeah, that's a general provision.
Correct, Your Honor.
It doesn't deal with negotiable instruments.
Correct, because
Would it be permissible under the Uniform Commercial Code?
No, but, Your Honor, here we're talking about a mortgage interest, and the plaintiffs did purchase the mortgage interest. City Mortgage clearly states that they provided the mortgage interest. There's no argument about that. So can they bring in secondary evidence to talk about the mortgage interest? We have the mortgage. We have the terms of the mortgage. We have City Mortgage people that can testify that under the course of business, the mortgage is written based on the terms of the note. So evidence can come into play. Evidence could have come into play in the foreclosure action about what were the terms here and what the property was. The offer to purchase is simply that, just an offer. And it only states that the plaintiffs have the opportunity to verify the supporting documentation, including the note. But they never did that. So plaintiffs never even followed through with their own terms.
Why aren't these all our factual issues for trial?
Your Honor, I respectfully disagree. What we had here was a summary judgment motion where the plaintiffs tried to show that there were factual issues, but there were no factual issues, as the district court showed. All the evidence points only in one direction, clearly the opposite direction of what my opposing counsel thought it pointed towards. The offer to purchase has written terms. That's the term of the offer, is that they could verify. That did not happen. We know that did not happen as a question of law because there was no note to verify.
Well, they're offering to purchase the note, right?
Correct, Your Honor.
I mean, this offer is subject to interpretation, and they're arguing that it could be interpreted in their favor to either imply or prove a term that consists of transfer of the note or a copy of the note.
But, Your Honor, that,
together with the testimony of Patrick Cogswell saying as much is enough, is what their point is, at least to get to a jury. And
I understand that. However, the clear portion of the offer to purchase states that they have the right to verify.
Well, there's more to it than that, though. The opening paragraph says the Patrick Group offers to purchase the note secured by the subject property under the following terms, and verification is one of the terms.
Correct. And as we know, that did not happen. There's no dispute on that. And then when we look at the affidavit that says, I was going to purchase the note, we do, however, know that the note was never seen and that the party's conduct moved forward without a copy of the note.
Right, and that's an argument for the jury. Not for us, right?
Sure.
You tell the jury this means they didn't contemplate the transfer of the note, and he's going to argue that it means that they did contemplate the transfer of the note.
Except that when the overwhelming weight of the evidence is on one side.
Weight of the evidence is not for
you're
us.
Right, you're right. I understand, Your Honor.
So just as soon as those words were out of your mouth.
I know. I tried to
take them back.
To take them back. Did you see it?
Right.
But what we're looking at here is some written instruments, including this offer to purchase, the assignment of mortgage, and then the affidavit. And the affidavit is contradicted by the other two documents. The affidavit states that after the purchase was completed, they then asked for the note. So if we go to plaintiff's analogy of you don't walk into a car dealership and say, I would like to buy a car and leave without the car, that's exactly what happened here. They left without the car. And then they tried to drive without a car.
The Illinois State Court called it a pig in a poke. That's what
they did, Your Honor. One of my favorite quotes so far.
You'd like us to agree.
I would like you to agree. What's important here is that even if they bought a pig in a poke, their damages, their failure to do due diligence and not having the note prior to trying to foreclose on this property and not trying to bring in evidence that could support the terms of the note, those damages are not the fault of City Mortgage. And in order to prove a breach of contract, and this is simply a breach of contract case, they have to be able to prove that they were damaged by City Mortgage. The fact that they were damaged is unfortunate, but the fact that they were damaged alone is not enough. There has to be a causation there.
Thank you, Ms. Miller. Mr. Mancini.
Your Honors, we get back again to the Illinois Appellate Court Second District's opinion, citing page 2 of that opinion. At trial, plaintiffs, my clients, attempted to prove the terms of the missing note through associates' computer records. Nevertheless, those attempts were not found to be meritorious, or with merit, they're not meritorious in the appellate court. So the attempts were made to substantiate the terms of the note through other means. The appellate court in Illinois found those to be insignificant or insufficient to establish the transfer of the note to my clients plus ownership interest in the mortgage debt. That's the law that this court's faced with. I don't know that the district court can properly review that and change that outcome. So with that backdrop, we have no recourse. A lost note affidavit will not solve these problems. City would like it to, it just won't. So we ask you to reverse the lower court finding of granting summary judgment in favor of City Financial. Thank you.
Mr. Mancini, thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement, and the court will stand in recess.